This morning and turn to the fourth chapter of Mark. Mark chapter 4. Turn me down just a little bit, Tim. I'll begin reading from the fourth chapter of Mark in verse 3. This is one of the first parables of Jesus Christ. We've been discussing several things concerning this parable. I think there's a progression here. We notice that there's a group of people that they actually hear the word of God, but they do not heed. This is the seed or the word of the gospel that falls by the wayside. They hear, but they do not heed. We have another group in this parable. We have a group that hear, but they cannot hold. This is those that have rocky, hard hearts. We have the wayside hearts. We also have the rock-hard hearts that hear the word and they spring up with joy for a few minutes, but they have no perseverance. It does not stick. They fall by the wayside. They apostatize is the Greek word that's used. They fall away. They believe for a while, but they fall away. There's a third class of people that I want us to notice. I want us to notice those that have not a wayside heart or a rocky heart, but there's a group of people here described as growing up among the weeds. Those souls that spring up, their faith springs up among the weeds. I was praying just a few months ago. I thought, well, Lord, you know, if you don't want me to preach, I won't preach. You know, I just won't. I will, let me know what I'm supposed to do here in this hour. Let me know what I'm supposed to do. You know, I am responsible as a pastor to feed the flock of God, which the Holy Ghost has made me an overseer. Some of you haven't been to the table of the Lord for quite some time. And so if the service goes long, it's because of called out. Some of them have not been here in service enough to hear the word of God preached by me as your pastor. So I'm going to preach this morning. And I want you... Actually, the Lord did say that. But there is a group of people that actually hear, and I want us to notice something. In this parable, there's a group that hear, and hearing is somewhat associated with claims of Christianity, that they identify themselves as Christians. Now, I believe there's, and we've been studying this in depth, or I have been, I hope that you have as well, as I've been trying to preach from the parable of the sower. That there's obviously a progression in this parable. There's a group that hear the gospel, but they reject it. There's a group that receive it, but they only receive it and believe it for a while, then they fall away. Then we have a third group and a fourth group that actually not only do they hear, but they also do not fail to yield fruit. My friend, if you're really saved, there'll be fruit, there'll be spiritual fruit in your life. Now, obviously, the group that falls away, those that apostatize, those that only spring up for a short time, believe for a while, and then fall away, they obviously are a group that claim to be saved. They probably make a profession of faith. They join some church somewhere. But they do not and they cannot live the Christian life. Their hearts have really not been changed by the Holy Ghost. Perhaps there was some failure in the plowing. The plow probably skipped over the stone. Now, I believe in a Holy Spirit plowing that must be done in your heart. There must be genuine conviction. It is the conviction associated with the Word of God. And we've already noticed that Jesus Christ is not only the sower, but also He is the seed. We notice like in 1 John 3:9 that God's seed must be in you. A seed wherein you cannot sin because you are born of God. God's seed must be planted in you. Peter described it in 1 Peter 1:23 about being born of God, of incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. You must have that kind of conversion. You must have that kind of salvation. So as I read this, once again, I want us to note in verse 3, he says, first of all, hearken. Now, I pointed out in one sermon, and I probably didn't make it obvious enough or plain enough, but when Jesus cried out to the people, please listen, he that hath ear to hear, he says, hearken, please, pay attention,
Understand, this is important. Jesus, his first parable was extremely important. He wanted people to understand that their hearts had to be properly conditioned in order to benefit and enjoy the blessings of God. You cannot enjoy the spiritual blessings of God unless you've had a heart transplant. And there's a conditioning associated with bearing fruit. With bearing different degrees of fruit. We'll notice here that some bear 30, 20, some 100-fold. I'm telling you, you can work for God and the blessings get better and better. They get greater and greater. There's goodness in God. The closer you walk to God, the greater and the better this thing is. Your salvation gets better as you go along. Amen? Now, I want us to be aware of something. Now, if there is a progression in this parable, if he goes from simply somebody who rejects to somebody who makes a profession but falls away, I want to ask you this question. This third group, this third class of people who spring up with the weeds, they obviously make a profession of faith. They may even join a church. But they obviously have more staying power than those seeds that fell upon rocky hearts. I've often heard this parable preached, and it seems like every time I hear it preached, this particular class of people is simply a people that are worldly, that reject or do not believe or do not become Christians. They do not seek the Lord. They do not repent because of the world. But I'm going to preach a little different this morning, and I hope you'll bear with me. If there's a progression in this parable, he is talking about this third class or group of people has to be worldly Christians. Listen, if it is in your life and you're a church member, then it's in the church. Man, I need to say that again. Everybody's a church member, hold up your hand. All right, thank you. If it's in your life, if it's in your life, then it's in the church. Now, that's a difficult concept for us today because we have so many worldly churches. I am convinced that I could build a big church on this third group. Oh, come on. I mean, it would be real easy if I didn't preach anything that was provoking or reproving to build a big church. I mean, if I could probably, you know, just convince people with fables and just easy things and just make everybody feel good but not have to live good kind of sermon. Oh, come on now. I could preach one of those sermons preach them all the time, that make you feel good but never provoke you to live good. I could preach those sermons and build a large church on worldly Christians. But Jesus said, my church is not of this world. He said in the 17th chapter of John, I believe it's verse 14, he said, the world hateth them because they are not of this world. There's a conflict going on in the church, or there's conflict going on in the kingdom of Christ between the church and the world. People, we're not to be friends with the world. Now, what we have in America, and actually America is the perfect place for the seeds to fall upon souls that are full of thorns and thistles and weeds, because America loves worldliness. And to have a worldly church, man, that'd be great. I want to say this. I was thinking this morning, the thing that has squelched, the thing that has destroyed, the thing that prevents nowadays people from shouting in church is worldliness. It will choke the word. And what's preventing a lot of preachers from preaching the truth is that they are conforming to the world, and the world is choking the word, and they're not preaching the truth anymore. They're fear. They have fear of men. Listen, the gospel is to be preached without fear or favor of men. The word of God is to be preached. The truth is to be upheld. No matter how you feel about it or what you think about it, the word of God is the word of God. we have worldly Christians. And I want to caution you, those briars and those thorns of the world, they will not only prick you, they will not only scratch you, but I believe, my personal feeling is, it is the very thing that is causing the church to bleed today. Worldliness. Worldly Christianity. You cannot be friends with the world and love God. Now, I realize there's a large group of Christians, so-called, today that say that you can live worldly, that you can be saved and keep living in sin. It is not so. Amen. It is not according to the Word of God. It is untrue. If you're really saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit will chasten you. God will chasten you. He will bring you to a place to where you'll repent of your sins and get that thing made right. Weeds in the way. That's the problem nowadays. Weeds are in the way. Why can't we have a revival? Because weeds are in the way. I believe the world ought to stay in the world. And it has no business being in the church. Now I realize, I used to when I was young, when I was a teenager and I was a young Christian in the church, I used to talk about them old fogies, them old, you know, they just, and I've become one, I guess. You have to be a friend. Yeah. You just watch it, young people. You might think I'm a little out there, but I'll tell you, one of these days you might be right there with me. Why am I so fearful of worldliness entering into the church? Because it will choke the word. Not just in the church, but in your life. You cannot produce fruit and be in the world. In this parable, Jesus said it caused them to be unfruitful. Or they did not yield any fruit to perfection, as Luke says in Luke chapter 8. The unfruitful Christianity that exists among us, the primary principal cause is worldliness. Now, what do I mean by keeping the world out of the church? What about these weeds that are in the way? Well, I'll put it on the internet, called out some of it. Listen, the Word of God should cause from time to time a change in your life. There are occasions where the Word of God should reprove you, it should rebuke you, it should cause you to feel bad. Sometimes it'll make you mad. Now listen, I am not trying to convince anybody to listen to me. I am simply wanting people to listen to Jesus Christ. I don't want to change you. And actually, if the Holy Spirit doesn't get a hold of you and change you, you're probably a goat and not a sheep anyway. And I have no desire of seeing a church built on worldlings. It needs to be good, disciplined disciples and followers of Jesus Christ that constitute one of the Lord's churches. We're in covenant with one another to keep the Word of God and the sayings of Jesus Christ and interact with one another to provoke one another to love and good works. That's a goad. That's one of those devices that was used among livestock to shock them, to probe them, to poke them. And I'll tell you something, there are times when we come to the house of God, we need a good poking. You know, nowadays they've got a little electronic device on the end, you know, where it doesn't cause the animal to bleed, it just shocks them. And we need to be shocked back into shape. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to be shocked back into shape. What will we lose? We'll lose our productivity. We'll lose our yield. We won't have that kind of fruit that Jesus described concerning the love and the peace. Praise God. The Spirit of God that resides among us. Listen, young people, don't let the world choke the word in your life because it will ruin you. Amen. Problem number one. We think we can handle it. What was it Jesus said that his generation was wiser? Thought they were wiser than God? You know, we think that, well, the Word of God has told us we must do that, but we think we don't have to do that. Christ just said in order to have a good fellowship and relationship with God, we must do these things. We think in our mind we don't really have to if we don't want to. That's what's transpiring. And people, that is worldliness. The ways of Jesus must take precedence in our lives or we are worldly. We've developed concepts of the world. There's a worldly system that Paul talked about. He made that real plain. I believe it was in the book of Colossians. He made it real plain that there's a worldly system. All right, I'm going to read these passages. He said, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked." Notice here. "Some grew up." The Greek word there has reference to springing up or grew side by side with the thorns. Grew and developed side by side with the thorns. Now, think with me just for a moment. Jesus will explain this. And he says clearly that the thorns are the world. Well, let's just jump down just for a moment. I mean, he makes it real clear. Notice there in the about the 18th verse. He says, "And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word." Hear the word. Now that word, hear the word there, it runs synonymously with verse 20 about those that fell upon good ground. They heard the word. They received it. They brought forth fruit. They hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Listen, my friend, riches are deceitful. What was it? Proverb that riches develop wings like an eagle and fly away. You may be rich today and poor tomorrow. Riches are deceitful. And we need to be aware of what our Savior said concerning riches. Nothing is said good about wealth in the Bible. You don't realize that? Actually, there's a perpetual woe. Woe unto those that are rich. And let me say this. If you develop any or you have any wealth, Paul said when writing to the young minister Timothy that the only reason that a church member becomes wealthy is that he might be able to help the cause of Christ. The only reason you were wealthy or are wealthy is because God intended for you to help the cause of Christ in some way. I don't have time to go into all those passages. But it is the deceitfulness of riches. Young people, listen to me. This concept, this system of the world is wrong. Paul talked about the system of the world. There's the prince of the world. The devil is the prince of this world. Stay away from worldliness. Don't get caught up in the hustle and bustle of this world. Stay close to Christ and live for God, and He will bless you. Oh, the blessings as He talks about in our life. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. We've heard these testimonies this morning, you know, about how important, how precious it is to have a mother that loves the Lord and praises the Lord. How precious it is to have parents that fear God and love God. How important it is to stay plugged into church. You know, we got a new church opened up here in Hendersonville. The name of it is Church Unplugged. I'll tell you what, you plug into the world, you've plugged out of God. And Tiffany went to one of these little concerts on the side of the road. I'm sorry, Tiffany. And they were playing all these worldly songs and luring all these young people in. I mean, worldly rock songs, I think, just rock and roll songs. And somebody came up to Tiffany and said, "I bet you don't have a youth group like this where you go." You know. And she said, "No, we don't have anything like this where we go. Praise God." Praise God. We don't need the world to lure people to Christianity. We've got the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to call costing you. Most of us are aware, a lot of us have computers, and we're aware of viruses, computer viruses. They're very sophisticated, destructive software that gets into your computer, these tiny technical terrorists that slip in into your computer unaware. And most of the time, they come in by attachment. Oh, you know, the email will read, enjoy my family photos, you know, and you click on that attachment, and all of a sudden, you're contaminated. You weren't expecting it. It piggybacked that email, and you open it up, and it gets into your computer, and it destroys the data. It corrupts it. It slows it down. If anybody here had a computer virus, hold your hand if you had Oh, y'all know what it's like. I mean, it starts chewing up data. It slows it down. It eventually will just crash it. And I'll tell you something. If we ever click on to those foreign attachments, things that are not of God, to advance the cause of Christ, it will infiltrate us, it will destroy our data, and it will eventually crash the church.
Amen.
Praise God, we here at Victory have a Holy Ghost firewall. Yeah. Well, you got a preacher so dumb he don't know any better. He'll stand up here and preach it whether it makes you mad or not. Yeah. We'll come together, we'll listen to the Lord, and we'll let the Lord direct us and teach us. We conform to the Word of God and not our own ways. We know that we don't have the capacity. We know that we're not capable of protecting ourselves. We need God protecting us. We need the Holy Ghost filling us and giving us wisdom and enlightenment. We need to expose some of the deceitfulness, some of the things of the world that can not only destroy our lives, and it will destroy your life.
Amen.
Young people, please. Old people, too. You know, one of the things that has hurt me or disgusted me or caused heartache in me as a pastor more than other things is not the young people that fall away, but the old people. It's not necessarily the young people. I realize there are occasions where they don't know any better. But what amazes me is that supposedly mature Christians find themselves conforming their lives to some of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These things are in the world, John said. They are not of God. You know, this... Let me read the rest of this verse 19. The deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. Uh-oh. You telling me desiring other things can mess me up? People, we need to be content with what we have. I'm telling you, the love of money is still the root of all evil. Yeah, preacher, it said the love of money. Well, where is the line? In your heart. And in your mind, there must be a line somewhere that says, I have crossed over from having money and loving money. Where's that at? Huh? Jesus said a man cannot love God and mammon. You cannot. You'll either serve the one and despise the other. You know what that means? You'll lay hold of something of the world and you won't let go of the Lord. You'll just think of it less. You'll just despise it. You won't hate it. You'll just put it second. I tell you, Jesus deserves first place in the life of every saved person. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Did he say that? He said it in the 6th chapter of Matthew. I can show you. And everybody's trying to make Jesus a liar. A lot of the seed sown among the thorns perpetually tries to make Jesus a liar and say, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can serve God in the world too. You can live for God in the world too. No, you can't.
Amen.
You either love God or you love the world. You're either serving God or you're serving self. It cannot be both. You're either dedicated and loyal to the Savior or you're dedicated and you're loyal to the things of this world. It's one or the other. You cannot serve both. Jesus said that, I believe that, and I'm preaching that this morning. But this group says, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You can hold on to both, the world and God. People, watch out, because there's a lot of Christians that are doing that, and they can influence you if you're not careful. Because that becomes very attractive. Oh, come on. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have your cake and eat it too? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Have God and the world. This soil seemed like it had been plowed properly, but there were roots of briars and thorns and weeds, and they sprang up with the seed, and they choked it. They robbed the word of its nourishment. They prevented the Christianity in this person's life to produce fruit. Fruitless Christianity is on the rise. But I contend that those that really have a genuine attachment to Jesus Christ will bear fruit. Some 20-fold, some 30-fold, some 100-fold. Desiring other things. I want to say again, there are certain things that you cannot do and be a Christian. There are certain professions that you cannot have. There are certain places that you cannot go. Yeah. There are certain things that you cannot or you should not say. Simply because you're a Christian. People, listen to me. I'm telling you, what's happening to us is that these churches are becoming worldly. And it's the one thing that causes Christ to vomit. That gray area, that middle of the road, that lukewarm. You know? There are things you should not see, things you should not hear, things you should not do, places you should not go, things you should not read. Amen. Things you should not watch. Amen? Amen. You're a Christian! You know, but what amazes me is that people think they can watch it, that they can do it, that they can read it, that they can live in it, and still please Christ. It will not happen. Amen. It just will not happen. There must be a detachment from the world in order to have an attachment to Christ. I'm going to close. I want to encourage you, don't be opening up any foreign attachments. I even told my kids after I got Norton's utility firewall, I said, don't you dare open up anything from anybody. You get one virus and you will put up barriers, amen? And if we will look back over our lives, we've let viruses in. I thank God for people like Sister Tammy who can come in and fix those things. You know, that's her expertise to restore one who has been contaminated or a computer that's been contaminated. But we serve one who can restore us when we've been contaminated. Praise the Lord. Yeah, and He can make your life in the world so bad you won't never go back there again. You won't ever open that attachment again. You probably won't never open an email from that person again. You'll cut off all association. Well, Christ will do the same thing in your life. There are certain people you just shouldn't be with. Shouldn't run with. Certain crowds. And I'm not just talking about young people. There are groups of older people that are committing things that are contrary, that are wrong. Yes, they say we're good Christians. Sit down and have a social drink with us. You can't do that, my friend. Amen. I'm just telling you, you can't do it. Amen. You know, that they'll say, well, it's all right. Yes, we're going to heaven. We're saved. We're Christians, but we're going to do this game or do this or that. My friend, there are times you just must put your foot down and say, look, I crossed that line and I'm in the world. I don't desire those things. You can have them. If I have to do it, I will just leave this place. I appreciate your attention. When you go to the 19th chapter of Genesis, and I know probably you're getting weary, but you go to the 19th chapter of Genesis, you read about Lot. Well, it's in 13th chapter. He simply just pitched his tent in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just pointed it in that direction. And it wasn't very long before he was offering his daughters as a sacrifice to those Sodomites. Wow, you'll do the same thing. You pitch your tent toward the world, and before long, you'll be so absorbed in it, just like he was. He fell in love with Sodom. The Bible says in the 19th chapter, he was sitting at the gate. He became part of the city council. His wife loved the women's society at Sodom. His children's two daughters probably went to Sodom High School and were cheerleaders. And when those angels told him, get out, get your family out of here, James said that Lot's righteous soul was vexed by the conversation of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. It vexed his righteous soul. And the angels were saying, get out, the city's going to be destroyed. And he just stood there. He stood there. He remained. The Bible says that the angels practically dragged him out of Sodom. Probably because of God's love for Abraham. And his wife loved that city so much, she looked back and she turned to a pillar of salt. His daughters loved that city so much and were influenced so much, they got their father drunk, and you can read the rest. I'm telling you, the world will mess you up. It'll mess the church up. You just let it spring up in your heart. And I guarantee you this much, you will become unfruitful. May look good. You can go out to a corn stalk, it's been influenced by something like that. Ah, the leaves look pretty. Yeah. Yeah, the tassels looks great. Yeah. Yeah, the little hairy stuff hanging out the end, that's good too, whatever that is. That's silk, yeah. Yeah, that looks good hanging off that corn. You go up there and you pull that piece of corn off and you open it up and there's nothing there. That's right. Nothing there. No fruit came to production. No fruit came to yield. No fruit. No fruit came to perfection. I'll tell you what causes that. Jesus said, the riches, the love, the desire, the things of the world. I shortened this up quite a bit, if you can imagine that. Appreciate you listening to me. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If you mean any man, anybody, including me, love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life are in the world. These things are not of the Father. They are of the world. May we take John's word with us today and weed out the weeds of God's, the weeds that get into our soul. God's word tells us clearly that it can spring up alongside our Christian walk.